This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Into the 9 o'clock hour we go. It's the 7 o'clock hour out on the West Coast, so we are thankful for our next guest.
7 o'clock?
Getting up to talk to us here. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a captain of industry, this kid.
Former teammate of yours back in 2006. Yeah. Former wide receiver for the Houston Texans. Diehard Dodger fan as well, and a friend of the show, David Anderson, joining us on the show. D.A., how are you?
Former friend of the show.
What are you talking about?
I am an enemy of you two and the scandals in Houston. It is a shame. Right now I'm holding my son. You're right, 7 in the morning, I'm holding my son. It looks like you, Sean Pendergast. My son is bald and chubby. Looks like you. I'm just reminded of you as you hold this thing.
You're no better than these people on Twitter who have their kids on their profile to try to use a human shield of your child.
In training camp, get out of here. You got satellites in the air. Unbelievable. You guys are clowns over there. None but cheaters, top to bottom, left to right. You know what's funny about Houston Astro fans? The fans don't even know how to be enemies of people. Like Red Sox fans, Patriots fans, they know how to take it. You Astros fans, you guys don't know how to take it. You're cheaters. You got caught. Own up to it. You guys are all everyone's.
I don't know. I felt like winning the World Series was a pretty good way to take it. I feel like
the rest
of the world's like, I want that trophy back and I want you to give it to me now. And we're like,
I just want to admit that you guys cheated and you did it better than anyone else and you got caught and the fines for cheating are a joke. If that's what cheating is, you can fine Andrew Friedman, you could fire Stan, you could take Clayton Kershaw, you could take half the team if I get a championship this year. That's all I care about.
You keep Clayton Kershaw, we need him in the playoffs.
Unbelievable. You keep that little midget Altuve with his little, now he's got radio signals on his chest. Unbelievable. He's the only guy that could do it because he's so short. Everyone else loses the signal if it's taller.
It was a low level signal. They were thumping the ground.
He could hear the vibrations. That big old bat he has actually has a big antenna on it so he can catch it. It's like, that's why it's 3 inches longer than everyone else.
So D.A., out there, give us the vitriol aside for a second. We will allow you
My
to...
My mini little Sean Pendergast has the hiccups if you hear him.
So do I, so that we have that in common. mine's from alcohol. D.A., obviously, this is the big story. It's a big story everywhere. It's the big story here. How big is this? Is this the biggest story in Southern California right now?
I think what is making it bigger and what's obviously blowing it up is now the players can talk about it.
Right.
All the owners and team executives were required to hush, don't say anything. But they couldn't do that to the players. So as soon as they put a microphone in front of the players, it's been like a league-wide blow up. So yeah. Like Bellinger and Turner, and then obviously Rob Manfred didn't do a good job when he said that it's just a piece of metal, and then everyone blew up again. It's just been kind of disappointing to see how baseball has dealt with, dealt with this issue, but I'm hoping this is just a micro issue, not a macro issue amongst the players and ownership and the commissioner, because that's really what's been holding, to be honest, the NFL back, is the relationship between the players and the commissioner whereas like the NBA, they have a great relationship. The players and the commissioner, they communicate, they have a good, they understand. Baseball is struggling with that, in my opinion.
You know, what's ironic though, is that in this instance, the players union and the commissioner are in lockstep. Both of them agree that the players shouldn't be punished because there was no framework by which to punish them for electronic sign stealing. The culture in 2017 was a whole lot different than it is now regarding sign stealing, and there was just nothing in place. So, I mean, the players' union stance is, look, you can't start punishing players for something they had no idea they would be punished for, or and there were no guidelines for it. So, and here I don't even know what people are asking for necessarily. The players are all acting like this is coming from Manfred without even talking to their own union reps and understanding that it's coming from the players' union as well.
Oh, he hung up on us. He didn't like the point you were making. my guess is, because I, having been someone who's held a baby before while trying to talk on the phone,
yeah.
He's going to blame the kid.
That's right. Well, he used his child as a human shield at the beginning. I felt like I felt less likely to shout at him because I knew his child was on his left.
I think it's just a small baby.
When
players bring their kids to the podium after a game.
David's no different than some of those Al-Qaeda members that have children answer the phone just in case there's a bomb.
Just compared to DA.
Well, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, same thing. We bring him back.
I heard 90% of that. They are in lockstep. I heard that. Sorry. I know that the MLB, the Players Association, has to stick up for players regardless of what the situation is. And so they are obviously taking the side of the Astros, and that's fair, and I understand that. But it's not like they polled all the other players and said, do you think that the players should be punished? Because it's similar to how there wasn't really a framework for punishing players for domestic issues or drug issues. I mean, I don't think there's a framework for carrying 100. Well, maybe there is, because the Dallas Cowboys guy did it. But for carrying 150 pounds of marijuana across the border, I don't think anyone saw that coming either. But like, you got to suspend players for stupid stuff that they do, and they're doing stupid stuff. And so, like, every player would agree that they were cheating, that they were going above and beyond what everyone else has done, and they were probably not only just cheating, but kind of, like, scheming the whole system. And I think every player would be like, they should probably get more than just, like, oh, have to say some half-baked apology that their obviously owner who doesn't give two craps wrote up for them. And it's a shame. I think the Astros organization could handle it better. I think you can agree on that. Now you guys are going to be the enemy of everyone. I hope a bunch of those players get plucked. Starting pitchers are going to be fined to get to sit a game.
I'll
get fined. I get fine me and suspend me for plucking the guy because he should be fined and suspended. So I'll take it for him.
That's what David, though. Like, I honestly think about what you're asking for, though, because I feel like a lot of fans, they're basically begging for the Astros to have an even better on base percentage than they already do. Because, for one, pitchers claim they've known this stuff's been going on for 3 years, and none of them had the nads to do anything about it. But now all of a sudden they're going to grow a pair? I don't see it. Like Mike Clevinger with his stupid knit hat and his tattoos acting like a tough guy. He's never had the guts to do it before, but now he's going to be Joe Tough Guy. I don't think it's going to happen. I think, honestly, I'll call all pitchers out around Major League Baseball right now and say, y'all don't have the guts to do it.
I like that.
I'm very
like
brave that. When it's not my body at the plate.
Yeah, I'm about to say, you might think that, but you pluck a couple, that strike zone gets a little bigger because Altuve, you know, stands a little bit further away from the plate. Everyone just starts paying a little more attention to those inside fastballs.
Well, we saw it in Game 7 when Lance brushed some dudes back. The Dodgers turned into little Chicken Littles all over the – it was very destructive.
You know what? You don't want to bring all this up. You don't want to bring all this up. We're focused on the now. And the now is we're going to pluck those little midgets like freaking like 7-year-olds at the dodgeball court, and it's going to be great. And we're going to start tossing them all out of the game.
Hey.
And then you know what? You can start over next year. But you know what? You need to get Houston fans ready to be the enemies of all other teams.
Dave,
right now, their talkback is garbage.
We're ready for that. Dave, let me ask you this. Hypothetically, let's say you strip the Astros of their World Series title and then you give it to the Dodgers, apparently. What if it comes out that the Dodgers were also electronically stealing the signs? Hypothetically. Then who does it go to after that? Do you replay?
Marlins are going to eventually wind up the champions of baseball in 2017.
That's, you know what, I don't think I always hate it when, like, they strip Olympic gold medalists, like, you know, like 12 years after what they just got rid of. Some Russian guy just got in trouble, and so they gave it to someone else. Like, I always think that's crap. You don't get to stand at the podium. You don't get to celebrate. You don't get to enjoy that with your team and your city. So I think they won the title. They deserve it. Now the big question Manfred had to answer was how much do we like stop Houston from trying to win in years going forward with this punishment, right? Like, I think everyone, whenever they look at punishments, they look at what happened to SMU. And, like, I don't think the NCAA wanted to literally stop them from having a football program. But they were like, oh, this is the punishment. We're going to ban you for I don't remember what it was, like 2 or 3 years. But it ended up being a ban for basically, I don't want to say life, but SMU was a good program. Now they're terrible. So, like, you couldn't say, like, all right, Astros, no first-round picks for 10 years, and now you are the only team that has a salary cap of $100 million and completely cripple them. But the punishment just didn't fit winning a World Series. And I think that what became obvious when Manfred said what the World Series means to people. And so I think his value of a championship did ironically match the value of the way he punished the Astros. It just was drastically different than the way everyone else valued a championship. So, I mean, that's the scenario that they're in. They're completely backpedaling. The league is backpedaling. The Astros seem to be backpedaling in terms of like how we can handle this situation. It'll be interesting to see if anything more comes out and they punish more people. If they're like, this is the way it is. Let's hope that the next news cycle buries this stuff and we can just continue playing baseball.
David Anderson, former Texans wide receiver and LA Dodger fan, joining us on the show. DA, before I get to Mike,
more importantly, you got to take my video down.
Well, I was going to get to that, but I was going to, I was going to point out that there are some texts pointing out that you're calling Altuve, what you're calling him, is a bit of the pot calling the kettle black.
That guy's a midget. I'm 5'11".
Yeah, but
I at least hit the one buttons there.
He's got the 5'0". You know what, though? Altuve is the average height of a male in his native country.
It's true.
Where you are not.
Where is that?
Venezuela. Munchkin
actually,
land.
Actually, 5'11". First of all, I don't believe you're 5'11". The second of all.
I am 5'11". I just got measured the other day at my physical. Apparently, I grew.
All right, so.
Like in high school, I was 6 foot and I ran a 4.3, and then I got an inch shorter and a tenth shorter, slower.
Right,
college, I was 5'11", and then pro, 5'10".
That's funny. All right, so DA, the video.
I spent a lot of time on that.
It's a really funny video, and I posted it on Twitter so people could see it. It was a congrats.
Oh,
I want people context for
we
you.
We lost a bet.
Ultimately bringing it up, right? You lost the bet when I was in afternoons. We had a bet on the World Series, and you losing the bet. I will say this. You went above and beyond. All we asked you to do was sing this song. We didn't ask you to do the video that you did. I mean, the video was absolutely tremendous. Some would say it's tainted now because of this cheating scandal, but you want the video to be taken down and scrubbed from the internet.
Or I want YouTube buffoons to also do a video with the Dodgers song. You can either take it down or YouTube guys got to make a video.
Do you have a Dodgers song?
I love L.A.
I like that song.
People like Randy Newman out there?
Oh. Randy Newman, I love L.A. I want Seth playing the keys and I want Sean singing.
See, I almost feel like Seth is getting drawn into something that wasn't his original bet.
Yeah,
happy. Well, you know, welcome to being an Astro fan, Seth. It's not like you cared about
Seth
baseball.
Seth is like Altuve. Seth had nothing to do with it, but he's got to pay the piper.
Nothing to do with it. Get out of here. you guys are just as guilty as everyone else baseball.
I'm looking at David Anderson combine stats, and I think you've lost all credibility because all I'm seeing is 5'10" and a half. And
so, damn it,
DA, here's how I know your video is going to get scrubbed off the internet. The only place I can find it right now, because when you did that, we were owned by CBS, so it's not anywhere. So our website got redone, so the only place it exists right now is on Garrett Heinrich, our former web guy's YouTube account. And I will say this about Garrett Heinrich. If he were not married to his wife, he would marry David Anderson.
Garrett will do it. Garrett will do it for us.
Garrett will scrub
Garrett
that video.
Garrett has integrity. He has a soul. He's an honest man. He will take that down. And unlike all the other Astro fans,
he's got
you two big-looking babies.
He's got all of those things and an uncomfortable love for you. So I know I know that the video will come down. How old is your son?
Vigo Eli Anderson is 4 months old.
Vigo Eli Vigo.
Yeah, Vigo, like Vigo Mortensen, Lord of the Rings. He's gonna climb the mountain and save the world.
That's a pretty
badass.
Wasn't
Vigo
name.
Also a character in Ghostbusters? He's the bad guy. He's the bad guy in Ghostbusters.
Oh yeah, he is the kind of, bad guy.
That's kind of that's good. He sounds like more of an Astros fan to me personally. Kind of like that.
He would never do something.
Oh,
like
I hope
that.
He grows up to be an
he
Astros
never,
fan.
He would never do something.
Vigo,
like that.
Vigo, if you're listening. Go Astros. I'm planning it into a subconscious right now.
You know what fan he is, though, of Houston? He's a Roughneck fan. I'm a Houston Roughneck fan in the XFL.
Yeah, we got about a minute, DA. How's the XFL stuff going for you, man?
The XFL stuff's going great. You know, Seth tries, he's a captain of industries, right? Still working in sports, still helping out sports teams, integrate tech. And one of the leagues we work with is the XFL. We've been doing some projects with the XFL, particularly their Team 9, which for all of you that are interested in how football works, it's the teams don't have practice squads. So if a player gets hurt in the XFL, they need to find another player. Well, they don't want to go to the streets to find a guy because, well, they already went to the streets to find a league. So they have a practice squad called Team 9, and we work a lot with them integrating new tech, trying out new things so that in 2021 there'll be cool things to do in the league. But when I went to meet all the coaches at the ballroom, I met June Jones because he kind of recruited me and out of high school. And I found out he was a coach of Houston. He liked all our stuff that we were doing. I was like, I'm officially a Roughnecks fan.
There you go.
Fits my Houston stuff. I like their logo because I always wish we were called the Oilers instead of the Texans. So I'm a fan.
Good stuff, DA. Hey, DA, we appreciate you making time. Go take care of Vigo, and we'll catch up with you soon, my friend. And we'll talk to Garrett about. Well, you'll probably talk to Garrett before we do. Now that you know he's the one with the video.
So I love LA. I expect to see something from you clowns.
All right,
Astros suck. Go on cheating. Bye. Right.
See ya. See ya, DA.
I hope Cody Bellinger had like Google specs that he was wearing. Just to...
we
Cody Bellinger had buzzers in his shoes.
Let's see, text messages. We just had David Anderson on the show, former Texans wide receiver, who may or may not be able to set foot back in Houston again. I felt like saying, DA, people liked you in Houston before you went on this tirade. There is some crossover between the Texan fans that love you and the people that love the Astros.
I don't know if David read the room right necessarily and how people in Houston right now are feeling this. We're not really at the, like, hey, this is all a big joke part of this yet.
Yeah,
we're not quite there, I don't think.
Yeah, he's getting a lot of pot calling the kettle black in terms of the size cracks on Altuve.
Yeah, he was going after Altuve's height was a bold choice
for someone who only had four catches his entire career. He sure does talk a lot. He had more than four catches. He got a second contract, by God.
Are we sure about that?
He did.
Okay,
yeah, I mean, I was there. I saw at least four of them in person.
He lied about his height, Sean. He lied about his height.
I feel like that's out of your control once you get to the league. It's up to whoever's putting the program.
Well, no. If you're 5'10 and a half, you say you're 5'11.
Round up, yeah.
What so, like, my brother will never do it. My sister is 6 foot tall because he's shorter than her.
Ah.
So he insists that she's 6 foot one.
Someone tell him it was Frodo, not Vigo, that climbed the mountain. Lord of the Rings nerd checking in. And for those who don't know, he named his little son Vigo.
Was Vigo in Lord of the Rings too?
I'm not a Lord of the Rings guy.
Oh, okay.
I'm a big Star Wars guy. But I'm not a Lord of the Rings guy. I'm a big Game of Thrones guy, but I'm not a Lord of the Rings guy.
Did you watch it at all?
None of them.
Okay.
Yeah, zero of them.
It's too long, too.
Yeah, they're very, very long. What's the biggest you were ever listed at in a program? Tallest and heaviest.
I don't know.
And
probably,
how accurate
I think
was
probably
it?
The tallest was 6'4",
okay.
Which I am.
Yeah.
I'm 6'3 and 7'8". So, okay.
So they never tacked an extra inch onto your height?
No, they don't. In the NFL, I think there's a big misconception. People assume that a lot of those numbers are inflated, but they're not. There's not really reason. The only time they're actually usually false is when they say a guy's lighter than he is. A lot of times with, you know, Ted Washington was listed at 320 for years,
right.
And he might have weighed 500 pounds. I don't have a clue.
Right.
He was just a planet of a human being.
Right.
So in the NFL, they're generally pretty accurate. Basketball, they used to inflate the hell out of it. This year, they've got the accurate heights.
Yep.
Where all these guys have lost 2 inches all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Which I like. I felt like way too many guys are being talked about as 7-footers to the point where I think Rockets fans didn't realize how small their team was necessarily because probably was Capella ever listed at 7 foot? He probably
Capella,
was at some point.
Yeah, he may have been.
Yeah,
he may have been.
He's not.
What's the heaviest you were ever listed at?
I think 325.
Okay.
Which I'd gotten up to. I got up to 330 something a couple times.
Okay. So they were actually short.
I wasn't comfortable.
You.
Not in Houston.
No.
If I lived in Green Bay or something, then it might have been. I might have been all right.
An extra layer.
God. Oh, it's so tough. Listen, anybody out there, if you're obese, oh, not in this city, man. Do whatever it takes. You're going to feel so much better. You don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like to go. You don't know what it's like, how nice it is to just only be mildly obese in this climate.
Right.
If you're really obese, like, you're going to feel so much better if you lose 40 or 50 or 60 pounds. Just get yourself down to mildly obese, and you'll have so much more energy. You'll sweat less. Yeah.
All you got to do is stand outside in the summer. You'll drop about 20 or 25 of the 50.
Worstest climate in the summer.
Yeah.
I remember when I first got here. Because we were going, you know, I came from Jacksonville, so I'm like, oh, Jacksonville's really humid. I'll be fine. No big deal, right? I don't know, man. There's something about the pollution or just the fact that you're in a city. You know, Jacksonville's as spread out as Houston is. Jacksonville is way spread out, and it doesn't really have, like, a whole lot of urban areas, like, where there's just a ton of concrete like it is in Houston. The sheer number of human beings here and all the concrete, I feel like it makes it feel even hotter.
When you were a player, if the CBA were up and part of it was playing a 17th game, would you have voted yes for it?
I probably would have, because I would have thought, you know what? That's more money for everybody.
Yeah. And I think that's the very basic way, and I don't mean basic in a bad way, that's the very commonsensical basic way to look at it. And there's been a lot of digging in by players. Do you think a lot of the digging in is just posturing?
I think it might be at this point.
A lot of these guys are cool with the 17th game.
Because at least a couple of player reps have anonymously said that they would vote for a 17th game. And it's always felt weird to me when players have said, I've heard players say, well, that's just a money grab by the owners. I'm like, yeah, but that's, you get 48% of that money that the league that's coming in. And now I think what the players have done, and it's a smart move and it's a good move. If they do go to 17 games, it looks like the players will get an even larger portion of that money. So they've got their normal portion of the revenue that the players get allocated to the salary cap, but then there'll be an even larger portion for that 17th game. They're going to get rid of one preseason game, which I feel like is a reward for the fans more than anybody else.
Yeah.
Because it's just, look, the price of the season ticket gets prorated out over how many total games there are. There was always this argument that somehow, like, the owners needed that revenue from the preseason games. No, because when you buy season tickets, you look at the total price.
Yes.
And very few people.
Some do. Some are very stupid about it and go, they're overcharging you for these preseason tickets. It's like, yeah, as you were just about to say, they have a dollar amount they need to get from each seat for the whole season.
Right.
And they divide it by 10.
So that's just going to get divided out differently. And I don't know how they'll change up, you know, two home games one year, one the next. That's not going to necessarily change how much your marquee players play, because none of them played in the fourth preseason game anyway.
Right.
I do wonder if it's going to make it a little bit.
None of them play in hardly any of them playing any of the four
anymore.
Games now.
Yeah,
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 yeah. Yeah, so I'm with you. Getting rid of that fourth preseason game.
And somebody pointing out that Capella was. Yeah, Capella's always been listed as 6'10". They never tried to make him into a 7-footer.
Okay, so they're going to go, if they approve this thing, they're going to go 17 regular season, 3 preseason.
Yeah.
To me, Seth, all that is just a gateway to eventually go 18-2. 18 regular season.
Oh, really?
2 preseason with 2 byes baked into the season.
I wonder if at some point, I wonder if past 17 games, does there start to be, I wonder, because for one, all right, does there start to be with 17 games some form of load management perhaps, or does the injury rate go up, whatever? It's going to be at least 5 to 10 years where they evaluate this. And then I wonder if, like with the NBA, where the NBA, even though they might take a hit initially financially, I mean, they seriously consider reducing the regular season because it just gets to be too long.
Yeah.
So I wonder if at some point there's some fatigue by the fans where 18 games would genuinely be too long.
18 games? What the thing that, now this is gimmicky as hell.
Yeah.
But 18 games where guys only dress for 16 of them.
Right. Yeah.
You know, where you've got to, it's forced load management. You got to sort of pick and choose. When to rest certain guys.
You know who I feel would like that? Old school baseball fans. Because as much as they love not having a DH, because then you've got the double switches.
The strategy
of it all and everything.
Right.
I feel like old school baseball fans should like that. They're like, well, now you got to manage your roster a lot more carefully.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. So, yeah, so 17 games. And I'm anxious to see what the 17th game is, if it's a neutral site deal or a rivalry game or whatever it is.
You're right. It feels gimmicky. But if you say the players can only play 16 games, it's a whole, boy, talk about another great talk radio topic.
Oh.
Because then it becomes, all right, well, which games can you least afford to have your quarterback out? You know, which games can you go without your quarterback? Because maybe they have a poor run defense, your opponent does, and all that stuff. That gets to be a lot of fun.
It's fun. I think the fear of the NFL would be, one, it's too gimmicky. Two, it becomes something that's almost too hard for the average fan to wrap their brain around.
Yeah.
Plus the risk that people would buy tickets to game. There's always a risk that you buy a ticket to a game to, say, see Deshaun Watson, and he could get hurt. But you buy a ticket to see Deshaun Watson, and this is the game that they choose to rest in. It's not a Week 17 game. You kind of know the deal when you're getting tickets in Week 17. That could happen. But let's say you buy a ticket for Week 9, and then they go, no, you know what? They're playing a crappy team. We're going to rest Deshaun this week.
Even worse, what if – well, DeAndre's injured already, and the star tight end that we lucked into in the 2020 draft is injured already as well, so we might as well put down Deshaun.
Right.
So you just all of a sudden turns into like just absolutely none of your stars.
The fourth preseason game has been reincarnated as Week 10. that's what's happened. So Darren Revell is with the Action Network. He's going to join us. How is Vegas taking advantage of the hatred for the Astros, and how much is 157 pounds of weed worth on the street? Darren Revell is going to answer both of those things for us next. Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne with you. Final segment of the show on a Thursday. We'll hand it over to John Lopez and Landry Locker on In the Loop as we head towards the top of the hour, though. Good right now to be joined by our friend from the Action Network. Download the Action Network app for all the live scores, live odds. I have the app. It's awesome. Darren Revell joins us every Thursday at about this time. Darren, great to have you as always. Before we get into some of this Astros stuff, we saw the pictures of the 157 pounds of Greg Robinson weed on your Twitter
feed.
You
like that?
Yeah, well, I like the picture of it, Darren. I don't know what you're insinuating there, but I'm curious, what is the street value on the weed in that picture?
So, I thought as soon as that came out, I thought that most people would want to see what 157 pounds of weed looks like. It's almost like a currency conversion problem, right? Like most people deal with weed in ounces, and believe me, I'm not the best person for this type of information, if you know what I mean. But I do believe it comes down to ounces, and then people are like, okay, like it's 125 an hour. So I was figuring out the street value of this for more than an hour, okay? Because I take this very seriously. I did find another picture of a bust of 157 pounds of weed. It was not, they did not share the picture from the bust. And so people then had a chance to see how much it was. It is a lot. It is a lot.
This is...
As to why Greg Robinson would be in this, you know, people are trying to rationalize, you know, a guy who's made $21 million or whatever. I mean, you can't.
Yeah, we had one listener that told us that he had a friend, quote unquote, who used to make similar runs across the border, and he would make $8,000 every time he did it, which is a lot of money, but to somebody that was a former number two overall pick, probably doesn't seem quite worth the risk.
Here's the other thing. Were they actually they went back through the border? I'm still not understanding this, and perhaps I didn't read it enough. Supposedly they were going from L.A. to Louisiana, and what happened? Their ways was off, and when they went through, I'm serious. Just stop. Because people are like, oh, you know, you're wrong on the street value being in between 300 because it's Mexican brick pot and it's bad. I'm like, no. The pot's not from Mexico. They weren't coming. It seems like they got lost into Mexico at the point at which, and somehow they had the checkpoint in El Paso. No, I
believe you. I'm just thinking about the fact that they obviously started out from L.A. with 159 pounds of marijuana.
Oh, my.
And by the time they got to New Mexico, oh, my God.
That is beautiful.
So can you imagine? I mean, I remember when back in my honeymoon in 2008 when we had the old GPSs and not Waze yet, I twice drove into like a ditch because I believed it. I'm like, oh, I'm looking right there. That's not a road. And I'm like, oh, well, it says it is. Like, that is a wrong turn like you couldn't imagine, I guess. So all of a sudden, wait, why are we at Mexican border control?
Waze gets pretty aggressive. They don't care. Like, they're just, yeah. It's too aggressive for me. Sometimes I just want to give me the straightest path. I'll take an extra 7 minutes.
Right.
And maybe don't send me through Mexico, too.
That's right.
Exactly.
Darren Revelle, Action Network, joining us on the show. Hey, Darren, you've had some really interesting stuff on the Astros relative to the wagering side of things. Are sports books able to kind of take advantage of a lot of the emotion that's fueled in this thing by putting numbers at places where they know people may bet emotionally against the Astros with respect to season win totals and things like that?
I didn't think the gaming authorities would allow like a hit by pitch situation. And, you know, William Hill posted it, and then DraftKings, you know, posted it, and what DraftKings did, you know, home runs for Bregman and Altuve at home, you know, as if like, okay, well, we're going to do it. You know, are you going to do over and over or under what you think they should be? And are they going to be worse because, quote unquote, they're not cheating? You know, there is a lot here. And it's really the hatred of the Astros business instead of the Astros business. This is the craziest stat I have for you. So the Astros are like the third most likely to win the World Series. They are the 20th from an aggregation of books that we have at the Action Network. They are the 29th most bet team to win the World Series.
Well, this is where I've got to guess that Sharks and bookies themselves or houses themselves have got to love this, right? This is an opportunity for people that actually know what they're doing. If you've got the public kind of maybe overly skewed to the negative towards the Astros?
Absolutely. I mean, listen, some books dropped when Cole went to the Yankees. Some books dropped the win total, but some books have dropped the win total even, you know, based on this. And so, you know, you could have gotten it at 97.5. Now it's at 94.5. You know, if they get a sense with 85-90% of money on the under, this could be without a massive move, win totals don't drop by 10. Like, so it'd be interesting to see now that there's always a point in betting where there's one side is heavy and you wonder if the book is going to continue to risk it and say, we like this bet. Or they're going to say, you know what, we can get more value by dropping this lower. I'm interested to see in the next month whether that win total will drop down even more just by the books saying, yeah, you know, we like it. And, you know, maybe there's just going to be great value on the over if it can get to 92.5.
I think there's great value on it at 94.5. I think they're still going to be really good, Darren. If you want to know the truth, Darren Revelle, Action Network, joining us on the show. Darren, you're the premier guy when it comes to reporting on things in the business of sports. I'm just going to ask you a very general question here, with respect to not just the Astros but baseball in general. I know that this thing's been viewed as a blight on baseball, a negative. Has this scandal been good for business in some ways for baseball?
Well, they certainly are being talked about more than is typically being talked about before spring training is fully into swing. I can tell you that. I think let's see what happens with the Red Sox. I was surprised LeBron made a comment, especially I mean, after all the positivity on the NBA and how he dealt with Kobe despite pressure, the All-Star game and everything else. And then he dips into this, and he's a part owner of the Fenway Sports Group, you know, that owns the Red Sox, and they're going to get potentially nailed soon. Like, I don't know. Anyway, I kind of got out of my range there.
No, sounds a little bit like, I remember Jessica Simpson once was like she was endorsing Jordache jeans, but wearing anything but Jordache jeans out in public. That's a little bit like LeBron talking trash about a group of players that he's actually involved with that are about to get pinched.
And
to.
Congratulations on the first LeBron to Jessica Simpson transition. But I don't know if it's good for baseball. Listen, I think Rob Manfred is in a really tough position right now. You know, like, when he said, I gave the players immunity on the condition that they were honest, I would like to see, since Rob Manfred is a lawyer, What was the legal document that was presented and presumably signed? How does that manifest itself legally? What should Rob Manfred do? I think it, you know, yes, I understand for owners, if everyone cheated, which is possible, then it's probably not in the best interest of baseball for Rob Manfred to suspend players and have the best investigation possible. I will say this, though. Given how staunchly other players have come out, it makes me believe that the Astros did more than most, right? Like if I'm Cody Bellinger or I'm Aaron Judge or anyone who's criticized the way that they have, I mean, Mike Trout, the blandest bland guy out there, says something. The more they say something, the more I say, well, they're not going to be that stupid to put it out in the public eye if they know they cheated. So it's interesting. And I also wonder whether he has reopened the Astros investigation, which he gave a non-answer to. So there's a lot of things to talk about. This is, for me, I know Astros fans are probably not happy, but for me, from a business standpoint, it has a complexity. Like, look at what we've been blessed with in the last couple of months. Daryl from Houston.
Yeah.
Daryl Morey in China, and now this? Oh, my God, I'm blessed.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're an honorary Houstonian, Darren Revell. Absolutely.
What we do is we do unique sporting situations and weather events. That's our that's our cottage industries here in Houston.
Oh, my God.
That's our content niche. Hey, Darren, last one before we let you go with respect to the Astros. Seth and I were talking about this earlier. Because it does come down to whether the team is sorry or not, or their apologies were obviously at the press conference were terrible. Some of the player apologies in the clubhouse were better. Whatever the case may be, I think if you got everybody in a moment of honesty, especially the owner of the team, Jim Crane, even a tainted World Series, you'd have to ask yourself, is it worth it? You know, what's the worth? You know, would the Astros be going through what they're going through? Knowing that they won a World Series, I think a lot of players would probably say, yeah, I'd rather have a tainted World Series than no World
Correct.
Series.
I think almost all players would say I'd rather have a tainted World Series.
Yeah, I would agree, and I think fans would too. I totally agree with you. Here's my question is, has anybody ever calculated, and this is a Jim Crane question really, what is a World Series title worth to a team? Has anybody been able to put a number to it?
It's usually to the immediate year. Worth around $20 million.
Okay. Wow. So there's
now, no Astro sponsors. I want to know what's going on behind the scenes. You know, like no Astro sponsors, I think, have kind of said we're out.
No, you know what? And Darren, I can give you at least a little bit of a local inside information. I was talking to somebody I do some work with who works for a big company that spends a lot of money with the Astros. He said that at their latest big meeting, almost as a formality, they weren't having a meeting with the Astros. This company that has a big name got up. The guy got up at the beginning that was leading the meeting, said, all right, so we still in on the Astros. It took about 30 seconds to do the vote and everybody was still in and they were spending the same amount of money.
Yeah.
I heard there's at least one company who said, let's just not be on any sort of materials that we usually are on for the time being. But we're going to pay you the same amount.
Yeah. Oh, they're still going to be a really good team. I mean, and who knows? Maybe the winning washes away some of it.
And I will tell
it's
you, Darren,
the story
too.
Of the year.
Yeah.
It's the story of the year, both story and betting.
There's kind of there's almost the irrational side of it, because there's our rational side of it where you think about where you're weighing the pros and the cons and what actually went to happen. But as long as the deluge of national scrutiny and scorn comes through, at some point, as a fan, you have this visceral response of like, all right, well, you know what? Screw everybody. All right, like, and it makes you want to, you kind of get entrenched and you want to support your team more.
Which you've never been as a baseball fan, given the sport. You've never said, like, in football, as a football fan, you're like, bring it on. In baseball, have you ever said that? No. This is the first time where you have like a nasty, like, yeah, you hate other teams. But like, I feel like people in Houston are going to, you know, have this chip on their shoulder, not only the players, but all, I know, you know, God, I know Sean has on Twitter. I see you.
I'm on Darren Revell's radar. That feels good.
I see you. I look at my mentions. I see when you get spicy. I got you.
I appreciate that. Hey, Darren, I said last one before I let you go, but I lied because we have a few people texting in when you mentioned reopening the investigation. Why would they do that? It seems to me like the only reasons you would reopen it would be if new information came about, or in this case, it sounds like just because everybody's so outraged about it.
If you believe that legally, if you believe that the Astros players were not honest, then they don't have immunity anymore.
Right.
I guess. Yeah. And that's why I wondered what, you know. Yeah, everyone's. I'm not saying MLB has never said anything that, as far as they know, the buzzers are not. You know, that whole thing isn't real. But like, who knows? And I think a lot of it's going to depend on, you know, Rob Manfred works for the owners. What else is out there, and how much is he going to be implored to do more? You know, that the fans are mad. Is anyone gonna walk away from the sport?
Yeah,
I don't know, but I certainly feel like, even with recency bias, that people think that what the Astros admitted to doing was worse than what was happening in the steroid era.
It's Darren Revelle, Action Network. Download the free Action Network app. I have done that. You will love it. Live odds, live scores. You can track your bets. It's awesome. Darren,
we have an Astros story.
What's that?
We have the Astros story up. About the betting.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, no, and give Darren Revelle a follow at Darren Revelle, because he puts up some great links to stories, and there's all kinds of betting angles to this Astros thing that we got into some of them here, but there's plenty of them that you can get into, and the Action Network, actionnetwork.com, the place to go do that. Darren, we appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks. Darren Revelle joining us on the show. I enjoy that.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.